Well, a very good morning. We are going to make a start. I'm going to hand over very soon to Aaron and Sarah, who are leading this on raising church children in the church family. Let me pray, and then we'll get cracking. Lord, we thank you for all your kindness to us. Thank you for this brand new morning, the beautiful sunshine. Would you speak to us now, we pray, as we think through this important issue of how across generations we can encourage each other and be a church family who loves you and loves your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sarah and Aaron have asked me to just introduce me and say a few things. Can you turn to Romans 12? Romans 12. We're not going to read it right through, or even a few verses. I want you to have it open and skim down as make a couple of reflections on it. So Romans 12, verses 9 to 21. And Paul is writing there about sincere love. So in verse 9, love must be sincere. And in verses 9 to 13, he says that people who've received God's love are called to love each other with discernment, with tenderness, with enthusiasm, with patience, and with generosity. And if you were here a few weeks ago, you remember we looked at that in detail. Sincere love is also about loving people that we find hard to love. And we looked at that last week. Because of God's love to us in Christ, verses 14 to 21, sincere love can overcome evil with good. So that we bless persecutors instead of curse. We deeply empathize. We're not selfish. We live in harmony. We aren't proud. We don't seek payback. We live with integrity and pursue peace. We don't seek revenge. We trust God's justice and we pursue repentance. And those things are at the heart of, across generations, discipling each other, encouraging each other. Yesterday, our family were at Jenny's uncle's funeral. Around 400 people were crowded around the gravesite. Many of them were children and young people. He was in his 90s. Ron was a leader in our church, and I, along with hundreds of others over the years, I was blessed, particularly as a teenager, and we were in that church, by his loving encouragements and rebukes. And this is how it often go. He would say, "So how are you doing?" And I'd go, "Yeah, I'm fine." And he looked me in the eye and he'd go, "How are you really doing?" And that would open up a conversation about the Lord. And he was very good at sharing his own spiritual struggles, being vulnerable. And the encouragement that that was as a young Christian, in a secular environment at our college for me, is hard to put a value on. He was someone who was an exceptional mentor and a role model for literally hundreds of children and young people over the years. Not least because he handed out sweets to everyone. And in fact, yesterday they had Uncle Ron's last tuck shop. And they had this shed packed with sweets. And I've got a picture of actually everyone queuing up to get sweets and whisper bars as we left the funeral. It's wonderful. Just shown by the sheer evidence of the number of young people and children, little children, standing around that gravesite as we buried him yesterday. He was a good example of intergenerational discipling, and we're exploring that this morning. And an inspiring example of sincere love and friendship across generations. Well, I'm going to hand over to you guys now. Thank you.
Great morning, everyone. Just to say, Pete didn't get the memo about the outfit that we were meant to wear this morning. Anna and I are dressed almost identically. That was entirely accidental. I just want to put it out there. Sorry, Pete, that we didn't let you know. Great. It is good to be thinking about that intergenerational, cross-generational discipling that can go on in a church family, as Pete's just outlined with Ron. And it's great to know that that is happening a lot here at Brinscombe Church. See it over coffee, chats happening before the service, after the service, in lots of different ways, across the generations, across the age groups. The church, we've been learning, isn't it, is a supernatural, God-ordained group of people brought together under him. I mean, it is an incredibly unique and dynamic body of Christ. And we want to maximise that, the different stages and ages, generations, backgrounds, educational experience and so on, and learn from one another and be able to encourage one another across the wider congregation. And I guess a multi-generational community is one that encourages everyone to play their part at whatever stage they are at. So that we're strengthening parents, we're encouraging and discipling children, the older generation are being blessed and encouraged as they have a part to play in the younger people's lives, spiritually and practically too. And so all of us have a part to play in the kind of spiritual development of one another. It's that one anothering, isn't it, that we've seen so much in Romans. And we can't do this for everyone. It might seem a bit overwhelming. We can't disciple well every single person in our church family. But we can do it for some. And that's what we want to explore this morning. By God's grace and in his strength, we might be able to do that for one or two or maybe more. Hopefully you've got a sheet that looks a bit like this. If you haven't, I've got some here. Stick a hand up and I can pass one if you haven't got one. Thanks. Okay, thanks, Anna. Great. Just a few things that we're thinking about this morning, just a few little points. There are many more, and we're going to have a chance in groups to think this through. But just thinking about getting to know others well, when we think of loving sincerely or being devoted to one another or rejoicing with those who rejoice, mourning with those who mourn, it suggests already a level of openness and of sharing and of vulnerability, perhaps, that allows others into our lives, the good bits and the bad bits and the hard bits. And it also suggests that we are willing to be invited in to those lives and walk with other people. So there is an idea of how do we get to know one another better across the generations. And we'll think about some ways we can do that in a bit. Mutual blessings. This is never a one-way thing, isn't it? We think we're sort of discipling perhaps the younger generation. But actually, what a blessing to learn from them and to hear from them and to be encouraged and challenged by them. You know, how wonderful. I love Titus 2. It's a place I always go back to. Is Paul is telling Titus to teach the older women, to teach the younger women, and Titus is to also teach the younger men. You know, that passing of the baton down the generations is great, isn't it? And, you know, the Christian lady who can draw alongside another a parent, perhaps an older Christian lady drawing alongside a younger parent, and can share some of her experiences of trying to bring up children in a Christian family. And what does it mean to help the child engage with the Bible? Or what does it mean to help a teenager struggle as they struggle with peer pressure? She may have been there, and the Lord may have taught her some things that she can then pass on to others. Or for an older man to help a younger dad think through how to lead family devotions at home when that's a struggle. He's been there. He understands what that's like. He can pray for this younger chap and talk it through with him and suggest some ways forward. I've been really encouraged to hear just recently a teenager talking to an older member of our congregation and saying, "How are you? I've been praying for you this week." And then it ensued a conversation about what those prayers were and how those God had seen those prayers, they had seen God answer those prayers. What a thrill that to see that happening across the way, across the ages. So mutual blessings. It's another model of Christian living, another Christian role model in children's lives, young people's lives. Lovely for parents and children to have another person or other people in their lives who are seeking to model what it looks like to follow the Lord Jesus. I slightly shudder when I think of that because I know that I'm a very flawed, imperfect example of what it looks like to model Jesus. But sharing is about sharing real life, warts and all, and we learn together and we struggle together and we can help and encourage one another together. And I think particularly, I mean, there are many parents who perhaps weren't raised in a Christian home themselves and are thinking, I actually don't know how to do this for my children. I'm longing to do it, but I don't know how to do it. And so, you know, it's quite exhausting trying to pioneer that new way of life. And others perhaps can draw alongside and walk with them through that together. So there's a lot of things that we can be doing to encourage one another spiritually across those generations, to parent, perhaps older generation to younger generation, whatever that might look like. There is also the role of some practical help as well. Loving, you know, I love when a baby's born, all sorts of different people from the church family might make some meals. All sorts of different generations. They don't even necessarily know the family, but what a blessing that they can have a little input practically into the lives of another family at a time of intensity. And there have been lovely friendships that have been grown through those sorts of opportunities. Maybe it's a single mum or dad offering opportunities to babysit so that they can get to church events, or another family looking out for those sorts of things that they can do. The important thing is that they may say no, and that's fine too. It's okay to say no. We can offer, people can say no, someone can ask, and it's okay to say no, we can't do that. But it is great to kind of look for those opportunities where we might be able to do that. So, there's a quote here that is from a book. Anna's going to quote from it as well, called "It Takes a Whole Church to Raise a Parent." And one of the quotes says this: "Parents need to know that it's okay to want help. They were never designed to parent on their own. Congregation members need to hear the truth that they are needed. Their stories, their practical help, their presence, their affirmation, their wisdom are needed too." So we're going to think about that a little bit more. You guys are actually going to do the hard work this morning. In a moment, we're going to get into some groups and thinking about what that might look like on a Sunday morning to help. What might it look like to help across the generations, whether that's directly to a young person, to their parents, an older person to a younger person to an older person, anyone of different ages and stages. That could be practical, or that could be that spiritual dimension as well, that trying to have a word, a biblical word, that spiritual input to younger folk as well, or to older folk. What does that look like on a Sunday? What does that look like in kids' club? What does that look like over coffee? What does it look like after the service? What does it look like during the week on a daily basis? You know, what does it look like if you don't have school-aged children at home? What does it look like if you do have school-aged children at home? What might it look like to invite people round to share in life? It doesn't have to be a three-course meal. It could be going to the park together. It could be going sledging together. It could be going get blown away in the wind this morning, later on this afternoon. You know, just it might be an extra pair of hands when things are tough for a particular family. Let's be looking out for chances to bless other people and for them to bless us. You know, in families, if you're going to the beach, clearly not today, well, maybe today, maybe it's a perfect day to go to the beach, I don't know. You're going to the beach, think, well, why don't I invite, you know, maybe a family who haven't got children along with us, or an individual, someone on their own, why don't they come with us to the beach or to go for a walk or whatever, just to start building those opportunities across the generations. I think if you will have the ideas. You're in those situations and thinking those things through. What we're going to do is get into groups just for 5 minutes or so to think about what that might look like to help and to be helped on a Sunday, midweek, and that could be practically and particularly spiritually as well. So does that make sense? So let's think really creatively, let's think helpfully, let's think practically, how can we do that, and let's do that in groups now. Why don't we get into groups of maybe 5, 6, wherever you are, just move the chairs, feel free to move the chairs. If you don't know each other, do introduce each other, yourselves to each other.
Back together. Sorry to interrupt your conversations. Hopefully that was helpful to chat through. It's nice to see lots of intergenerational groups as well chatting now, so that's great. We thought it might just be helpful to run through a few things that we should consider as we think about this, and more practical things. There's a little list on the handout just to see. So question who? Sarah's already said we can't be doing this for everyone in the church family, and we don't want people to leave today just feeling completely overwhelmed at the idea of trying to connect like this with everyone who comes on a Sunday. So it would be a great idea, I'm sure lots of us have done this already, but to pray and to ask God to point us towards a couple of individuals maybe, or families, who we could look to support during the week or get to know better during the week, so that it's manageable rather than trying to do that for 100 different people. And then maybe on a Sunday morning, asking God as we arrive at church, please guide me to someone I can sit next to or someone I can chat to that I can help today, and then ask God to use us with whoever it is that we interact with on a Sunday. So midweek, maybe a couple of individuals, and then on a Sunday, whoever it is God puts on our path. Serving on teams, it might be that we just feel like we really just don't know people that well yet, and we don't know how to start with that. Alongside life groups, serving on teams is a great way to do that, particularly teams like Holiday Bible Club, which is across the generations. It's a great way to get to know, I'm biased obviously, but it's a great way to get to know people, teenagers, young people, older people. It's just a brilliant way to get to know people well as you serve alongside them. So that's a plug for Holiday Bible Club. Sustainable hospitality, this has been covered a lot, and so I won't say much, but making our hospitality something that's manageable and that we can do more than once. So not one fancy dinner party that we recover from for a week, but feeding people what we'd normally feed ourselves, accepting help with the washing up so that when people leave, we don't just feel completely overwhelmed with the amount of washing up to do. I think growing up in a family that had people around for lunch, one of the ways that was sustainable was everyone just helped with washing up. And it actually was some of my greatest memories as a teenager, getting to know people, singing along to the radio as we washed up together. So we can accept help in our hospitality as well. Appropriate boundaries. I'm just going to read, I forgot to bring the book, but this book that Sarah mentioned, I'm just going to read a quote about safeguarding. So it says, "We're aware of the importance of child protection. It's important to remember, though, that we aren't saying to the church family, feel free to grab any child you want whenever you want. Rather, we're saying we are a community, not individuals isolated from one another, and we are needed in each other's lives. Talk to kids and young people. Understand that parents you know may need your input and help. Feel free to offer your friendship to families, and be gracious when the answer is no." We can also say to parents, "This church is full of people who can input into your children and teens. Feel free to ask people to spend time with you and your kids. And if people offer, feel free to say no. There is no judgment when people offer to help. They just want you to feel loved and to have choices. But no is always okay." So we want to share life together, but it's important to keep appropriate boundaries and also to have the freedom to say no if we think that's best for us and our family. And then finally, not becoming a Christian bubble. It could be easy, I guess, to fill all of our time with our church family, which would be lovely, but we want to be a church family that's outward looking and sharing life with others around us. So just bearing that in mind, and maybe thinking about how we could perhaps combine the two. So inviting our non-Christian friends to get to know our church family and helping them see community in action would be a really cool thing to do as well. We're going to have some time to pray together in groups, just about what we've been talking about, thanking God for his grace to us, thanking God for each other and our church family that we're in, praying for wisdom for how we can best help each other practically and spiritually, and praying for humility for each of us to accept help from one another as well, which is often harder to do, I think, than offering help. So let's spend some time praying together in groups. Thank you. Thank you.